From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Sign and Seal of Justification. In chapter 4, verses 9 through 16, the Apostle Paul shows from the Old Testament scriptures that Abraham was justified by faith before he was circumcised. In other words, circumcision was a seal of what had already taken place. The Jews of Paul's day depended on their relation to Abraham, signified by circumcision, as their entrance into heaven. Paul demolished that error by showing that Abraham was declared righteous, that is, justified in God's sight, while he was still a Gentile. As Dr. Cairns is explaining, no religious rite, no church sacrament, such as baptism, plays any part in justification. Only faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross provides a righteousness that God will accept. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 89 and verse 19. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Why was Christ chosen out of the people? Speak, my heart, for heart thoughts are best. Was it not that he might be able to be our brother in the blessed tie of kindred blood? Oh, what relationship there is between Christ and the believer! The believer can say, I have a brother in heaven. I may be poor, but I have a brother who is rich and is a king. And will he suffer me to want while he is on his throne? Oh, no! He loves me. He is my brother. Believer, wear this blessed thought like a necklace of diamonds around the neck of thy memory. Put it as a golden ring on the finger of recollection, and use it as the King's own seal, stamping the petitions of thy faith with confidence of success. He is a brother born for adversity. Treat him as such. Christ was also chosen out of the people that he might know our wants and sympathize with us. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. In all our sorrows, we have His sympathy. Temptation, pain, disappointment, weakness, weariness, poverty, He knows them all, for He has felt all. Remember this, Christian, and let it comfort thee. However difficult and painful thy road, it is marked by the footsteps of thy Savior. And even when thou dost reach the dark valley of the shadow of death, and the deep waters of the swelling of Jordan, thou wilt find His footprints there. In all places whithersoever we go, He has been our forerunner. Each burden we have to carry has once been laid on the shoulders of Emmanuel. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? Take courage. Royal feet have left a blood-red track upon the road, and consecrated the thorny path forever.
Spirit, take me,
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
Justification must never be made dependent upon a sacrament or an ordinance. And to make it such is to deny the very fundamental teaching of the Word of God on both justification and the meaning and significance of a sacrament. Having said that, however, circumcision was related to Abraham's faith. We read that it was given to him for a sign. It's called the sign of the covenant. Indeed, so closely related with the covenant that at times it is even called the covenant of circumcision. Not that circumcision is the substance of the covenant, it is the sign of the covenant. That is, it explained it. It signified that covenant in some way. It was a physical mark that signified the special relationship into which God had called Abraham and his seed. It was a sign. But to Abraham it was also a seal. Now, a seal is that which secures. A seal is something that authenticates the reality, in this case, of the righteousness of the faith that he had while he was yet uncircumcised. A seal guaranteed the inviolability of that righteousness which had been imputed to him. Now I want you to understand the force of this seal. And I want you to look at Romans chapter 4, because I'm going to have to say some somewhat controversial things tonight. I want you to look at Romans chapter 4 and let's stick with what the Bible actually says. And you will discover that as a seal, circumcision could apply only to one who was already justified. Now keep that in mind, because all of this has much more than historical significance and importance. Everybody of all persuasions, I think, would have to agree that the Bible clearly teaches a close affinity between circumcision and Christian baptism. You can't get around that. Colossians chapter 2 would make it so clear that it's foolish even to question. The fact that in many ways in the New Testament baptism is the initiatory rite into the church as circumcision was the initiatory rite in the Old Testament. So there is very clearly an affinity. This close affinity has led almost all Presbyterians, although as you'll see in a moment not this one, to adopt the view of what is called pedobaptism, child baptism, the baptism of covenant children. And the argument is deceptively simple. By deceptively simple, I don't mean it deceives by being simple. I mean simply that it sounds so very simple, and yet there is an abstruseness to it that is covered by what people take to be something so simple. It is also deceptively persuasive. And it goes something like this. God commanded Abraham to administer the sign and seal of the covenant to his children. And none can doubt that. And the Jews started to do that, and they continue to do it until this day. That command, the argument goes, was never retracted, and there is not a word in the New Testament to say that it should be discontinued. Thus, without a positive command to discontinue what God commanded for centuries and millennia beforehand, the counterpart in the New Testament to the initiatory rite of circumcision should also be administered to the children of God's people. And we are told it is in this light that we should interpret such verses as Acts chapter 2. For the promise is to you and to your children. And Acts chapter 6 verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It's in this light we are invited to interpret the few references in the New Testament to household baptisms. And the thought is there must have been babies in the house, at least in one of those occasions or more. And I've read some writers who say that really statistically to take half a dozen households at random, you're going to find babies somewhere. So therefore, though they're not mentioned, they should be included. Now, let me make it very clear. I believe in covenant theology. I think it's the key to understanding the Bible. Let me make it clear also that I rejoice in God's promise to His people regarding their children. And I believe that's a promise that they should take before the Lord constantly upon their knees. And as Moses held up the rod of God, they should hold up the promise of God and get God's fulfillment of it. But having said all that, despite my best efforts, I cannot accept what I've called the deceptively simple argument of Peter Baptists, and especially as they relate it to Romans 4. And I'm going to try and show why in the moments that follow. What I will say is that it certainly can't be established from the case of Abraham. And after all, he's the one to whom most of the books that I have read on pedobaptism appeal. The covenant with Abraham. And I will try to show you from Romans 4 that it is utterly unbiblical and utterly unalloyable to appeal to Abraham in this case. First of all, consider this, that verses 11 and 12 of Romans 4 teaches that Abraham had a dual fatherhood, a twofold fatherhood. First of all, he had a natural fatherhood of the circumcision, or of the Jewish people. That's with regard to his earthly family. There was a family that was descended from the loins of Abraham. Then secondly, he has a spiritual fatherhood with regard to his fellow believers. There's nothing to do with genetics or an earthly lineage, but it is a community of faith. He is the father of all that believe. So he has a dual fatherhood. The second thing I want you to remark is this, that though circumcision, as I will be glad to admit, has spiritual as well as natural and national significance, this is the vital point. A natural relationship with Abraham was sufficient. I'm very tempted to go further and make that even stronger. That it was the only ground upon which, at least initially, children were to be circumcised. The only reason for their inclusion in this rite was their family relation to Abraham. And I find it highly significant. Abraham was circumcised. Who was the first person circumcised after Abraham? It was not Isaac. He hadn't even been born. It was 14 years before he'd be born. It was Ishmael. And then after Ishmael, it was Abraham's servants and their children, because they were reckoned to be part of the earthly family of Abraham. Now, according to Galatians chapter 4, I think it would be not only a leap of faith, it would be a leap, as I was saying this morning, into the darkness to include Ishmael among the spiritual descendants of Abraham. We are told he was after the flesh. He is held up as the antithesis of a believer, the opponent of a believer. If ever a man, in Scripture at least, is described in terms that would lead us to say he is outside of the covenant of grace, that man was Ishmael. And yet, by divine command, Ishmael was circumcised. Why? Because of a natural, physical, family relationship with Abraham. To me, that's where the whole analogy of the pedo-Baptist argument between baptism and circumcision begins to break down and fall to the ground. Because when you come to baptism, baptism has only one significance. And that's spiritual. It does not have any relationship whatsoever or any significance whatsoever to a merely physical family relationship. So the fact that the Jews were commanded to administer circumcision to their children because of a fleshly lineage does not either logically or theologically, and certainly not, as I will now proceed to show in the light of Romans 4, does not give us any ground as Christians to extend the initiatory rite of baptism to children. The fact that circumcision had a deeper spiritual significance doesn't change this. What was the spiritual significance of, and this is where I get to what to me is the meat of the argument. What was the spiritual significance of circumcision? I believe it's the very same spiritual significance that there is in baptism. You could give the answer in many ways. But in the language of Romans chapter 4, the spiritual significance of circumcision was that it was a seal of the righteousness of faith. It was a seal of justification by faith alone, without works. That was the significance spiritually of circumcision. Now, I understand from other parts of Scripture, as I've indicated, that other answers may be given, because there is a very rich spiritual significance in the sacramental signs of the Scriptures. And I'm happy to acknowledge that. It's just not within my purview, and certainly not within my time limitations, to explore the full biblical answer to the spiritual significance of circumcision tonight. But in terms of Romans 4, it is a seal. A seal. Remember what that seal is. It is a witness. It is a token. It is a guarantee. It renders certain and inviolably certain the righteousness of faith. That's its spiritual significance. Now, I have to be honest, the Jews didn't see that, but Paul did, and Paul was right. Now, watch this carefully. It was a seal to Abraham. Now, I want you to take Romans 4. In fact, you can take your whole Bible. And I want you to see this. Circumcision might have been a sign. It signified something to Ishmael, as it signified something to the fleshly line, or the children born after the flesh to Abraham, the natural descendants. But it was not a seal to Ishmael. And I will make the point, according to the wording of Romans chapter 4, circumcision could not be a seal to anybody who was yet unjustified. It is a seal of that which has already been given or imputed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.